Well, as promised, we're going to bring to these microphones now Rabbi Yoel Karen. He focuses on the preparations to build the next temple for us here on Prophecy Today. But in addition to that, he keeps a close watch on the Temple Mount. He himself guides people who are interested. I guess, Rabbi, do you guide Christians too, or just the Jewish folks?
Absolutely. I take everybody. Anybody who wants to go up, I'm there to take them.
Well, that's great to know, and I'll tell some of our Christian friends that may be coming over there who need a personal guide to tell them the background, the Judaism background of the Temple Mount, and that'll be a great opportunity. Well, we've been talking about how the Israeli Knesset has been working in an effort to try to make some type of an arrangement, something similar to the Machpelah cave there in Hebron, so that the Muslim people can pray at a certain time, the Jewish people can pray at a certain time as well. The Temple Mount, a very sacred piece of real estate for the Jewish people. And what I would like to know is how it's developing in light of the fact that the Jordanians, who supposedly have custodial rights, you might settle that out for us, is it the Palestinians or the Jordanians, but they have put in a veto saying that indeed the Jews cannot go up on the Temple Mount. They talked about the peace agreement between Israel and Jordan. I was there in the Arava back in 1994 in October when they signed that agreement, and the agreement seems to say that the Jordanians have a relationship as it relates to the Temple Mount. What's the latest on this situation?
Right. Well, the way it works is the Jordanians, they don't have any legal rights to the Temple Mount, but there's an understanding. There's an understanding that they were custodians of the mosques that are there for a very long time. And the first king of Jordan was actually assassinated on the Temple Mount by a Palestinian, and he's in fact buried there. So the Israeli government tries as much as they can to accommodate Jordanian requests and allow them some amount of authority there. Now, the fact is, though, that doesn't give them an absolute veto over anything that the Israelis want to do. The Jordanians were incensed and absolutely rejected the work on the ramp going up to the Temple Mount next to the Kotel, but the Israeli government went ahead with it anyway. So that's one thing. They really don't have a veto. What's important here is the very fact that our government, the Israeli government, went to the Jordanians and asked if they would agree to Jewish prayer on the Temple Mount. That is significant. That means all the way to the top, all the way to the level of the prime minister, the government is now considering Jewish prayer on the Temple Mount. It's just a matter of whether or not they feel confident enough to override Jordan's wishes on this particular matter. So it's shocking, it's exciting, it's the biggest news we've had related to the Temple Mount probably in years, that the very top levels of the government, this had to have come from the prime minister, are asking the Jordanians if they would agree to Jewish prayer on the Temple Mount.
Wow. Every single time we get together for a conversation, it gets better and better. There are bumps in the road, of course, but it seems to get better and better as the desire for the Jewish people to be able to go up on the Temple Mount and be able to offer prayers is in the very near future. So then you don't think this Jordanian veto is going to throw a wrench in the works as it relates to the Knesset and their efforts to try to get that law passed?
No, it definitely makes it a bit more difficult, because now the government has to decide, well, do we want to, how much are we willing to upset the Jordanians? They've done it in the past, like I said, with the excavations on the southern wall and the ramp going up to the Temple Mount. They've done it, and they didn't have it, they didn't have any problem with it. They just dealt with it, and the Jordanians get over it eventually. They've also rejected the Jordanians had requests to put up like 5 more minarets around the Temple Mount, and the Israeli government rejected that and didn't allow it. So it's been done in the past, and if enough pressure is coming from inside Israel, they'll do it again. Because, like you said, this debate is getting hotter and hotter in the Knesset. More and more committees are sitting down and talking about it. Arab Knesset members were twice ejected from the proceedings discussing how to allow Jewish prayer on the Temple Mount last week, for being disruptive and screaming and saying that, you know, they would start an intifada over this. And so they were actually kicked out of the Knesset, out of the discussions, twice in one day. So that tells me that if they're upset enough, to cause themselves to get kicked out. They're afraid of something. They know something's up.
Boy, that does sound like great news. Well, meanwhile, the Mufti of Jerusalem making the statement that Jerusalem, and I think he was referring to all of Jerusalem, is Islamic. Now, do you know, was he talking about modern-day Jerusalem or just the Temple Mount and the area there in the old city of Jerusalem?
He, listen, I mean, bottom line, he believes that all of so-called Palestine is Islamic. So, no, he's talking about the entire city of Jerusalem. He believes the entire thing is Islamic. He believes the Western Wall is a mosque. They call it the Al-Burak Mosque. So there's no doubt to what he means. And he's being conservative in limiting it to Jerusalem because he believes that the entire country is Islamic.
When you look and hear that phrase or title, Mufti of Jerusalem, is that simply a kind of a figurehead position, or does he have power within that position?
He only has power over the waqf. Nobody, you know, hardly any Muslims even pay attention to what this guy says. And he just simply runs the little mafia gang that supposedly has authority over the Temple Mount. Again, when a Jew goes up to the Temple Mount, you know, the police have told me several times before, you don't talk to them, you don't answer to the waqf, you don't relate to them at all because they are not the authority there. The Israeli police are the authority there. They let them pretend to have some authority, but we know that the Israeli police, sometimes just to show them who's boss, will bring groups in, even groups of civilians, and walk them through the Dome of the Rock, through the Al-Aqsa Mosque, through the tunnels underneath, just to show them who's boss. We've had videos that have surfaced, that have leaked, of people that have gone and videotaped these things. So they really have no real authority. They let them feel like they have some sort of an authority. That's as far as it goes. And the whole reason that the Mufti is saying these things is for the same reasons these Arabs were screaming and got kicked out of the Knesset. He knows something is going on. And so he's ramping up the rhetoric, the saber rattling, trying to do anything he can to stir his people up because he knows it's just a matter of time before they do allow Jewish prayer.
Rabbi used a phrase, waqf, W-A-Q-F, and it's simply the Islamic Trust, who takes responsibility, the custodial responsibility for the Temple Mount. One final thought for you. There's an Islamist leader, I think he's from up north in Israel, who says that Al-Aqsa is a volcano. In other words, it could explode if the Jews keep trying to get up and they persist on wanting to pray on the Temple Mount, the thing's going to explode. What about him? I mean, he's more of a radical than the Mufti would be, and he might follow through with his threats.
I mean, he's tried before, and then sometimes he's tried to lead marches towards Jerusalem, and they arrest him and ban him from the area of Jerusalem for a while. And you know, he is more of a troublemaker. He's more of the Mufti is just as radical as he is, if not more. But he just doesn't say these things out loud. This guy is more willing to break the law, and he doesn't have a lot to lose. The Mufti has a lot of money and a lot of clout that he doesn't want to lose. He doesn't want to risk ruining. This guy has nothing to lose, and he just runs a bunch of hoodlums and thugs, and that's what he is. He's a rabble-rouser. The Islamic movement, I believe, is who you're talking about. Raed Salak is his name.
Yes.
So, yeah, he is a little bit more problematic just because he makes a lot more noise, and he can potentially cause a small riot. It's something like this can usually be shut down in a day, but people can get hurt, and it's something that we really have to watch out for. But still, I would much prefer tolerating a few days of riots and let them get over it than to deny Jews and non-Jews. But this is not just about Jewish rights. This is all non-Muslims are forbidden to show any religious expression on the Temple Mount. That's what we're trying to change. It's going to change. I'm not saying it's going to be tomorrow, but it's going to be a lot sooner than I thought it would be.
Wow, praise the Lord for that. I can hardly wait to have a conversation with you almost every week now to find out what the progress is being made towards having an opportunity for all of every faith to go up onto the Temple Mount and to offer their prayers. Rabbi, always a joy to talk with you, my good friend. Thank you so very much. I'm sure we'll talk again real soon.
Looking forward to it.